we're calling this message today, Love, the Actuator of Your Faith. Love, the Actuator of Your Faith. You know, when I worked in the secular industry, when I worked in travel trailer industry back in Eastern Oregon, you know, they kind of pulled me out of my department. They would kind of help me. They got behind on, you know, people would damage the fiberglass siding or something. Well, you can't sell it that way, so you have to fix it. And fiberglass siding, you can't rip off the whole side and put another one back on. You got to patch that. And so anyway, but to put this stuff on, they had you mix this component with this component. Well, one of them is called an actuator or something along like. Is that what it's called? Activator? Activator, actuator. To me, it's the same thing. But anyway, okay, activator. But yes, same thing, right? So you have to add an activator to this compound to make it the harness it needs to be so it does its job. And see, that's what faith and love is. We love hearing about faith and what God wants to do through our faith and believe. Let's believe God for this. By faith, we believe we're going to win people to Christ. By faith, we believe people are going to be healed. By faith, we're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles. But here's the problem. A lot of people, they've heard about faith, 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 but love is the activator that makes the faith work so well. Love is what activates it. Even since then, you know, I know that in body work and paint work and different kinds of things, you gotta mix that. I remember we was doing something around our house and I had to fix something and I was reading the instructions that says, because there was two tubes that came in the package and I didn't know what it was. I'm not real sharp on that kind of stuff, but I am smart enough to read the instructions. You know, so I was reading it and it says you need to squeeze some from this tube into that tube and mix it up and then apply it. Otherwise, it's not going to harden right, right? So if you want to seal the deal with your faith, you've got to add love to it, right? So love is the actuator or the activator. Love is the activator. It's what causes your faith to work. Many times, I remember Dad Hagin used to say this all the time. Some of you who's in our Bible school, maybe you've read it in some of the books. I'm not sure, but one of the things he always used to say is that when people came to him and says, because Dad Hagin was always called the father of the modern day faith movement, right? And so people would come to him all the time because he's always teaching on faith and love, right? And anyway, so they would come to him and they'd say, Brother Hagin, I just don't understand what. I'm doing everything I know to live by faith, but my faith's still not working. So maybe this don't work. And he would begin to talk to them about, he wouldn't talk to them about their faith. He would talk to them about their love walk. He says, do you have any, is there somebody in your life that you just refuse to forgive? If there's somebody you're holding a grudge against, what's going on? And more often than not, he would find out that there was somebody that they had ill will for. They're just like, You know, to hear their name was like, I can see by the looks in some of your eyes, you know what I'm talking about. Right? We've all had those times, those moments, those people in our lives. How many know every person that comes in your life is not just a sweet smelling savor of roses? Well, they are, but roses come with thorns, right? But there are some people in your life, you know, you have some people in your life, they're the rosebud. They're like, oh, that's beautiful. It's so wonderful to be around them. And you got other people that are part of the stem. And you get poked by them and it hurts. Right? And but the Bible tells us that we have to walk in love with both kinds. And love is what activates your faith. Amen? All right. So, I was sharing something. I can't remember what it was, but that's okay. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Read this out of the Amplified Classic Version. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, this isn't going to be a message that's necessarily going to make you jump up, jump, shout, spin about, and all that kind of good stuff. But it is a message that needs to be heard. Because I believe there are too many people that they're frustrated because they're They're struggling. They're trying to walk by faith, but they don't understand why their faith's not working. But the Bible teaches us, and we're going to see what Jesus says about it here in a little while. But the Bible teaches us that faith works by love, that love actually activates our faith. Now watch this. In the Amplified Classic, in verse 6, Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, For if we are in Christ Jesus, all right, neither, huh? What did I say, 5, 6? Is it 6, 5? I put it down in my notes wrong. Okay, so 6, 5. 6, 5. For if we are in Christ Jesus, oh, no. Yeah, it's 5, 6. I thought I had it right. It's chapter 5, verse 6. Did I write it down wrong? Oh, I wrote it on my notes wrong. I wrote it on the little sticky note wrong. If you would have been led by the Spirit, man, that's what I'm saying. No, I'm just kidding. You guys are doing awesome. Amen. Are we there? Almost? Getting there. Okay, I'll give him. Okay, there we go. Okay. Had to bring up the Jeopardy. All right. But it says here, for if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision counts for anything. Right? But only faith. So circumcision and uncircumcision don't count. Right? And for some of you, look at me like, well, what does that got to do with anything? Well, back in the Jews believed that you had to be circumcised to be in relationship with God. Right? And then Paul comes along saying, hey, you know, yeah, no. The grace of God, it's not about circumcision or uncircumcision, right? So it's not something you have to do in your flesh that's going to do anything. Works isn't getting it done. It's by grace and grace alone, right? So he says here, none of that stuff matters. What does matter? But only, the only thing that matters is faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. Now, what love are we talking about? The love we've been talking about this whole series. It's the agape love, the love of God, the unconditional love of God, the kind of love that loves no matter what they've done, no matter what they've said. And some of you may think, there's some people you just cannot love. And see, that is true in the natural. If you're just trying to love people in the natural, then your love is based on what they said, because they said everything that you wanted to hear. What they've done, they treated you perfectly. But if you're just going by the natural, you're in for a major disappointment, because in this world there will be people, and this is not a negative confession. I'm just telling you, in this world there will be people that disappoint you. There will be people that say things about you that you don't like. There will be people that treat you in ways that you don't like, right? Now, we've said before, early on in this series, we said, now, we're not talking about walking in a kind of love that makes you a doormat for people. But as I was thinking about that this morning, getting ready, the Holy Spirit prompted me, and he says, make sure you let them know because what a lot of people do, they use that as their excuse to be mean to somebody. Well, I'm just not letting them be a doormat. They're not walking on me. That's not the kind of love we're talking about. You do not have to be a doormat, but don't use I'm not your doormat as an excuse to not walk in love. Right? God wants us to walk in his love. The beautiful thing is he poured his love into us, so now we're not functioning out of our own love. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And you got me questioning my numbers now. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says that the day we gave our life to Christ, that he poured his love into us. So now you don't have to love with your own natural love. Now you can tap into his supernatural love. What is supernatural? It's his super love on your natural. His super, he's the super one, not us. Right? I say this from time to time. I say, good ideas are good ideas, and God ideas are God ideas. Good ideas are not always God ideas, but God ideas are always good ideas. Amen. In other words, what do you need? You need to hear from God. You need to flow from the power that comes from God. Don't try to walk in this kind of love in your own natural ability. I'm telling you now, you can't do it. It's not designed for you to be able. You cannot do it without God. But He has already, if you've given your life to Christ, He has poured His love into you. But as I've said throughout this series, love is like a muscle. You go into the gym, you may have tiny little biceps, teeny weeny little triceps. But if you start pressing weight and you start doing those curls and you start doing those tricep pushdowns, you're doing these exercises, you're putting those muscles under pressure. Now, how many know the world and the people around you will provide the pressure? The world and the people around you will provide the pressure. You ain't got about where's the weight going to come from. You don't even have to get a membership. You got a free membership when you were born into this earth. The world says, come right on in. We're going to pressure you as much as we can. So the people around us and the world around us is the grocery store, the traffic. Come on, some of you guys know what the Achilles heel is for me sometimes. Right? The people are going to provide the pressure. Here's the question. The question is not where the pressure is going to come from. The question is how are you going to respond to the pressure? Are you going to say, forget this, I'm out of here? Or when that pressure comes against you, are you going to press it back out? Normally I would just slap you upside the head, but today, I love you. Today, normally I would say something mean, but today, I'm not going to say that mean thing. What are you doing? Another rep. Another rep. Another rep. And if you keep doing enough reps, then you'll notice that the things that used to drive you nuts, they may still bother you, but not as much. And if you keep pressing it out, how many know you work out long enough, a 45-pound bar is nothing. Now you got 4 plates on there. I used to be there. I'm not quite 4 plates anymore. You know, but the thing is, if you keep working out, you keep making that decision. No, I'm going to walk in love today. My wife said this, but no, my husband said this. My kids are driving me crazy, but you know what? I would normally yell at them, but today I'm going to scold them kindly. You know, I'm going to give them some instruction. I'm going to walk in love with them. Right? How many know love is firm? Yeah. There's nothing wrong. We're not saying everybody needs to be gushy and soft and teddy bears and whatever. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about a gushy. You know, people say this, Christianity is for the weak. Right. I'm teaching you to do something that the world can't even do. No, Christianity is, true strength is to be a Christian. Because Christianity is not about getting everything you want. Everybody's just being nice to you all the time. No, Christianity is learning how you can deal with difficult people. How you can disagree without being disagreeable. You don't have to be that mean-spirited person. You don't have to respond that way. The world, they do it because they're basing everything upon circumstances. But we can walk in peace and have joy in the midst of the craziest of circumstances. And you want to tell me Christianity's weak? I think not. I think not. Amen? But he says here, he says, all this other stuff don't matter, but what really matters is only faith that is activated and energized and expressed and working through the love of God that flows through me. All right? Go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. How many know sometimes you encounter people, you encounter situations that people need your faith to work? I don't want to be in a spot where my faith could have helped somebody, but it couldn't because I'm not walking in love. Man, I ain't letting nobody get away with nothing. No, they're going to treat me right or they're going to pay the consequences. That's the kind of attitude that keeps your faith from working, keeps you from being able to help the people that God wants you to help. How many know that God wants all of us to help somebody? God wants somebody. How many remember this? I forgot who said it, but years ago I heard this. It says, someone is always on the other side of your obedience. Someone is always on the other side of your obedience. In other words, what does that mean? That means when you choose to obey God and live, Jesus says, if you love me, a lot of people, oh yeah, I love God. Well, he says, if you love him, then you'll keep his word. If you love him, you'll live according to his word. If you love him, you'll do what he said. And you know what I noticed that he didn't say there? He did not say, if you love me, you'll do what I said as long as it feels good. You'll do what I said as long as it's easy. You'll do what I said only if it seems right to you. He didn't say any of that. What he said is, if you love me, you'll keep my word. So how can we say we love God and we're like, I know you want me to forgive, but ain't happening. I know you don't want me to be bitter, but it ain't happening. No, they hurt me. What if God treated you the way you treat people? What if God said, I'm perfect and you're not. You hurt me, so you ain't getting no forgiveness. What if God treated us the way we treat people? Right? Now, I know this is some challenging statements today, isn't it? I mean, I can in the spirit see you guys squirming. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, if I saw in the spirit that you guys were squirming, I'd be probably the chief squirmer. Right? And because this is not something that I've got so well, and you just need to catch up. I mean, I've been working on you guys for years. No, it is not that at all. And this is something that I am constantly working at. This is something. But what I do know is the Bible says that that faith works by love. All right, you're over in Mark. I'm going to read out of the New Living now. Mark chapter 11. Let's read these verses that everybody loves to hear. Watch this. Mark 11, verse 22. Jesus says, now this is right after, they're on the way to Jerusalem in the fig tree. Jesus went up to the fig tree to get some figs to eat because he was hungry. And, there was no figs on the tree. Some translation messed that up. They're saying that because it was not season for the figs, it was actually supposed to be figs on that tree. And there wasn't fig. Why would Jesus get mad at the tree not doing what it's supposed to do if it wasn't supposed to do it? Right? You stupid fig tree, you're not bearing figs. I know that you're not supposed to bear figs right now, but I hate you. No, it's not what he was doing. So Jesus comes up this fig tree and there's no figs. And anyways, that's where we're fixing to read about. And so Jesus curses the fig tree. He says, from this day you will bear fruit no longer. That's all he said. And he turned around and walked away. And he went on into Jerusalem. They're coming back. As they're coming back by, I think it was Peter just looked over and saw the fig tree. Jesus didn't even acknowledge it. He didn't stop and go, hey, guys, did you guys take a look at this fig tree? Remember yesterday? He didn't do that. He was done with it. And he's walking by, and Peter goes, Master, that fig tree that you cursed yesterday, it is dried up from the root in less than 24 hours. Dried up from the root. Jesus turns and takes this teaching moment, and he says, verse 22, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Verse 23 goes on to say, for whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart, but shall believe the things that they say shall come to pass, they shall have whatsoever they say. And then verse 24, it goes in to say, therefore, whatsoever they, I'm quoting out of a different translation. I'll read it from here. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, you will have it. King James says this, therefore, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And we read that, and we're like, dude, that is gold. We get excited about that, man. Glory to God. I mean, God says that we can have the same kind of faith that he's got. In fact, when Jesus said in verse 22, have faith in God, he was actually saying, have the same kind of faith God's got. And what kind of faith is that? Well, he goes into verse 23, starts talking about the power of your words. Jesus said this. Remember that? Red letters. Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart, but shall believe the things that they say, they will have whatsoever they say. He spoke of speaking three times to believing once. Why? Because most people don't have a problem believing, but they have three times a harder time understanding that it has to do with the power of your words. So we preach on confession there. We preach on believing God for stuff, and we get excited, and we walk out, and we're like, glory to God, I'm believing for some stuff. Glory to God. God's going to bring up some good stuff in my life. But let's keep reading. Because, by the way, this was only part of the discourse Jesus was talking about. Let's continue to read. Verse 25, he says this, but, right, let's read verse 24 and connect it. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive. First forgive, not only forgive, but anyone. Anyone. Not anyone but your mother. Not anyone but your father. Not anyone but your cousin. Not anyone but this person. Not anyone but. No, you got the but in the wrong place. He didn't say anyone but. He said, but first forgive anyone. Faith is energized and activated by love. And love forgives. And he didn't say forgive anyone that is willing to treat you right afterwards. He said forgive. And not only did he say forgive, I mean, this gets heavy. You ready for this one? No, don't leave yet. Don't leave. Come back. No, I'm just kidding. Nobody's leaving. I'm just kidding. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against. Why? So that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. See, that's the full discourse of what Jesus was saying. We like to preach on 22 through 24 because those men... I can have the faith of God. I can have the same kind of faith he's got. Glory to God. Well, you want to know what kind of faith he has? You go back to Genesis. God said, and it came to pass. God said, and it was so. God said, and everything was good. I mean, God said, and all these things came into being. Glory to God. I can have that kind of faith. Yeah, you can. But first, see, that was almost like Jesus was kind of like, I got their attention. Now I can let them know what it's really about. How many know if he would have started with forgive, you probably wouldn't have read the rest of the stuff. But he says, have faith in God. You can you have the same kind of faith God's got. It's great that you believe, but you got to release your faith out of your mouth. You got to speak the right things. Glory to God. And whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you've received them and you will have them. Glory to God. That's amazing. But he says, but first, if you have any, forgive anyone that you're holding a grudge against. I mean, now that's not so easy, is it? That seems to be the more difficult part. See, this is the part that separates true Christians from weak Christians. True Christianity, we say this, I say this all the time. Real Christianity is not for the weak. Because, I mean, people talk about Christianity, yes, that's a weak religion. Yeah, well, you haven't even tried it. That shows me how weak you are. Right? Christianity is not for the weak. I mean, Jesus, he is, if he is really your Lord, He will challenge you to be better every day. If he's really your Lord. Now, if you prayed the sinner's prayer and you're like, oh, glory to God, I'm on my way to heaven, but your life hasn't changed and it's not impacting you and it don't bother you to live the way you did before you gave your life to Christ, then number one, I challenge the integrity of your salvation, the genuineness of your salvation. Because when you truly give your life to Christ, he will no longer let you cuss somebody out and it be okay. You can no longer drive by an intersection and flip somebody the bird and it be okay. You can no longer be mean and rude and nasty with people and mistreat people and it be okay. It should bother you if you really receive the Spirit of God inside. Because his Spirit in you, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, that his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Well, that's not the only thing it does. His Spirit inside of us will bear witness that what you just did was either right or wrong. Amen? Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. So true Christianity is not a weak Christianity. But I thank God that everybody in this room and everybody watching and many people that are not here today, I thank God that I'm preaching to a group that's like, yeah, you know, we're the tough ones. We choose to believe God's word. He is not only my Savior, but he's also my Lord. I like what Brother Roger says. You know, he's not just our fire insurance. We don't just give our life to Christ just so we don't go to hell. We give our life to Christ because we give our life to Christ. It's his to lead. It's his to guide. Can you trust God with your life? You can trust him with your salvation, but you can't trust him with your life. You're going to trust him with your eternal security, but not with how you live on the earth, with your relationships, with how you treat people. Rather, you forgive or not. I mean, your forgiveness is based on the degree of the offense that was done to you. No, come on. I want to see you walking in faith and God doing amazing things for you. I want to see this church explode with new converts. And Jesus said this, we started this whole series off with this. The world would know that you, this is in John, the world will know that you are my disciples because of your love for one another. Amen. Isn't that good? All right. Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to leave you with a definition of what love is, and then we'll wrap this up. Amen? Is anybody getting anything out of this? Yes. Is this helping anybody? I mean, it's helping me, and I'm the one preaching it. I mean, the Lord's helping me to see more and more as I go over this, which is a true indicator that as we meditate on the Word, the Lord will reveal more and more. So don't let this be the only time you think about this and ponder these thoughts. Don't turn your thought ponderer off when you leave the building. Say, you know what? I'm going to think about these things. And I'm going to go back and reread these scriptures and think about what has been said. See, that's how we become doers of the word and not just hearers. Because when we come in and hear a message like this and we go out, we don't do anything with it, you're deceiving yourself to think that your faith's going to work right without love. But man, I tell you, I love our church because we are a love walking machine. I declare that we are the friendliest church in the world. We love people like crazy. We have a crazy love for people. No matter what they've done, no matter what they've said, no matter what my relationship is with them, no matter how they respond to my love to them, man, I'm going to love them. Why? Because I love God. The person, I ain't near as interested in pleasing you as I am in pleasing God. I have no desire to be a people pleaser. I love you. I'll be a blessing to you. I just want to be a blessing to you all the time. But I tell you what, man, my job is to please God. Otherwise, I'd have come in here and preach some really nice little message that didn't challenge you. I just want you to go out just feeling like roses is just all over the place. But I love you, and I want to see your faith working right. And I want to see that love of God in you bubbling up out and being extended to other people. Amen. We're going to see people come in to the kingdom of God. We're going to see people saved this year like no other. Amen. We got some outreaches coming up. Man, we're going to get involved. We're going to reach out to people. We're going to present Jesus to them. And man, they're going to give their life to Christ. It's going to be awesome. Amen. Let's read the definition of love so I can get you out of here so I can get some lunch. And Brent said, amen. By the way, thank you, Amy, for keeping him in shape with his faith, you know, journey. Yeah. All right, here we go. 1 Corinthians 13, let's read, starting in verse 1. It says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I like saying it this way. I would only be, anybody remember those old metal garbage cans? The plastic ones just don't do it, does it? Right? Those metal ones, you take those cans, you hit that garbage can lid, it is so irritating. That's what I think about when I read that. You know, if I spoke the tongue of men and angels, but I didn't have love, I'm just like nothing more than noisy garbage can lids. But that's why he said, I'm just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You know how irritating, now I'm a drummer, or I used to be a drummer. I don't have a drum in a few years, but I used to be a drummer for a worship team back in Pendleton for years. And, you know, the worst place that you could be is standing right by the drums when I hit those cymbals. Because I felt like cymbals are meant to be heard. And so I hit them hard. And you wonder why people put their, now these days, that you notice they isolate us drummers in boxes with a lid on it, a drum cage. You know, there's a reason for that. What else did he say? He says, if I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans, wouldn't that be something? Wow. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans and I possessed all knowledge, man, that would probably make you pretty special, right? And if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't have love, I would be nothing. Next. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Here we go. You ready? Here's the definition. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or pride. No, stop right there. Just keep that right there. As we read these, don't be popping other people up in your mind. I'm not telling you the way other people should be. I'm telling you how you should be. Every believer in Jesus Christ should find themselves in these verses. Now, let me make this statement, then we'll continue, and I'll wrap it up. But I know that everybody's at different levels. Man, I've been working on my love walk for years, and I am still working on it, right? There are still times that it really tries me, and I feel like somebody just dropped about four more plates on the bar. Right? Who almost passed out on that one. Whew. Felt like I was in the gym right there. Whew. That's the way I feel sometimes when I'm walking in love with some people. It's like, oh, sweet Jesus. Come on, Michael, push a little harder, you know. Whatever. Right? So this is for you. Keep you in mind. In fact, I'm going to encourage you to read this. Dad Hagen said this, and I thought it was so good. He said, try to read, well, he didn't say try. He said, read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, one time every day. I would suggest strongly in the morning. Because it'll be in your mind as you go through your day. It'll help you to remember when those pressures come. Oh, yeah, that's right. Press it out. Press it out. All right, so here we go. So keep, this is for you individually. Don't be thinking of other people. All right, here we go. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love is not rude. So don't say things that are rude. Don't act in ways that are rude, right? So love is not rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. So if you're a person of love, you don't have to be that irritable person. I was watching something, a movie you were watching last night. And I remember the guy on there said, and they were talking about, don't be so angry. He goes, man, I'm Italian. I can't help it. And I started thinking how many believers, they lay the rap on their ancestry, rather they're able to actually walk in the love of God. Well, I'm German. I can't help it. I'm Italian. I can't help it. No, you're without Jesus. You haven't made the decision. I'm going to walk in love. I don't care what my ancestry is. Yeah. Right? So love is not rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. Love doesn't always remind people of the times they've hurt you. Okay, all right. We'll keep going. Okay. Love does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. And if you go down to verse whatever it is, 13, you don't have to put it up there, but verse 13 says, faith, these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Amen? Stand up on your feet.